Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. You know, boys, we didn't discuss this. How are we doing the power hour here? Should we just do it? Should we let callers try it?
We've had the callers in the past.
We've done that. I know we've done it.
We do have Joe, who's never tried it for us.
Is Joe up to it, though? Because at the start of the show, he told me that he needed the caffeine to kick in, which is problematic for me. So I don't know. Is it because, look, Tom gave it a try and then quit in the middle of it. Jake did a very good Bart impression. I mean, can Joe... we cannot have another step back like we did with Tom. We can't have that happen.
Right. Well, that's what I told him before because he brought it up. And I said, well, I think we're going to be putting it on you. And I said, the good news is you can't do worse than Tom.
No, that's fair. Can't do worse, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be better.
But if you do worse, then you've
You'll live in it. So... All right, so Joe, are you up to it?
Because of that, because I know my limitations, I think we should leave it up to the callers.
See, he's bowing out already. Doesn't even want to take a swing.
He quit before Tom did.
I mean, yeah, you can't, like at least Tom took the bat, went into the battle, the circle, went to the plate. At least he took some pitches. Joe looked at. You basically looked at Joe Torre and said, I'm all set.
He saw the Ohio State press and said, I'll stay on the bench.
The main coach looked down the bench and Joe said, we need somebody to bring the ball up against this press. And you're like, nope, that ain't me.
My knee is barking.
You better keep looking because it's not me. That is that's disappointing. But okay.
I know my battles. I'll pick my battles. This is not one of them. I don't have the pipes for it.
This is not it. You don't want to do it. Okay. So this is what we'll do then. 800-919-3776. Does somebody feel like they can do the power hour? That since Joe doesn't want to do it and Bart's not here, somebody's got to do it. Because when we don't do it, you should see the tweets we get. Angry people. There are people that say, I need the power hour. It gets me through the afternoon. I hear the intro, then I hear power hour, and I'm ready to battle through. And take it to the end. Here's a secret, everybody. We do it so we keep Bart engaged. Because 2 hours was what the show was originally. They added a third hour, and we all know what happens that third hour. Like, you got to keep him engaged. So how do you do it? We do that. We get him fired up. He says it with his chest, and now all of a sudden he's got his energy back up again. So the way you feel when you hear it is the way he feels when he says it. That's what makes it so important. So when you screw it up, it just sets everybody back. It's like the letdown. It's the wet blanket. It's like, oh, man, I can't get through this hour now. That? So let's get a couple of people in line here. Now, you know how it works. Don't say hi to me. Don't say anything at all. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to tell you it's hour number three. It's Barton Home. What's that mean? And all you have to do is your part. Right? It's the power hour. And then add as many hours as you want. Until your voice cracks. But don't, nothing else. There's nothing else to say. And the minute you start saying anything else, click. We hang up on you. Because you know this is so important right now to all the listeners. This matters. This is going to make someone's Friday. This is going to get them to Friday night, to their weekend. And if you screw it up, you just ruined everybody's weekend. So let's get it going. 800-919-3776. Trevor is in Jamaica. Trevor, it's Bart and Han. It's hour number three. What's that mean?
It's the power hour.
Trevor, that was brilliant. Excellent. I almost feel like, do we go to anybody else? Should we bother?
Yeah, they got in line.
Well, all right. Now this is that's a great start, and you have to live up to this. That's a big standard that he set. Trevor laid the standard that everybody else now has to either match or do better. Anthony and Belmore, your turn. It's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean?
It's the power hour.
excellent, Anthony. I mean, that's very good, too. That's a great start. That's how I'm talking about. That's what I expect. When I walk through the garden, when I'm in the city, and I see somebody, and they just yell, power out, like you get that kind of energy. I think it's taken over the city. I think everybody loves it. This is the energy you get. You need it. And now you're bringing it. Hey, Zeus in Jersey, your turn. It's hour number three. It's Barton Hahn. What's that mean? Oh, man. See what I mean? Like, we can't have this. I mean, you just ruined it. I don't even think we should keep going. Do we give somebody another chance, or did Jesus just ruin it? We had two really good ones, and then we had that. Complete no-show.
I blame myself.
Well, how'd you blame you?
Because when he said he wanted to do it, he's like, yeah, man, I'm really good at it. He was far too laid back.
Oh,
so
like,
laid back,
chill?
He didn't even show. Yeah.
So he was so chill, and then he just kind of ruined it.
Yeah, he had a lack of power in the screening process. Chris in Jersey, though. Maybe yeah. He'll get us back on track.
You feeling Chris in Jersey?
Yeah.
All right, Chris in Jersey. It's Barton Hahn. It's hour number three. What's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
That's amazing. See, that's what you need. I think you need the growl. I think you got to have a little depth. And then the energy to go through those last couple of ones at the end that you know that's going to hit the sweet spot. Right? It's because you go too long, it's bad. You go too short, we all know. Right? No Minutemen here. Like you gotta put in a couple of seconds there. The effort is what matters most. All right, I'm satisfied. You guys satisfied?
Oh, we're powered.
Okay. Joe, are you sure now after you heard some that you might not want to give it a try? Or are you like, no, I'm good?
I'm good.
All right. Joe's out. So, fine. We have calls to get to at 800-919-3776 anyway, and more things to talk with to you. So, we're in the second half, and it's Baylor and Colgate, and it's still a 20-point game. What else we've got? Northwestern and Florida Atlantic. We are late in the game. And that was the first game of the day. It's a good one. 8-9s always are. Northwestern is the 9 seed. And Greeny's team is 56-52, a 4-point lead over Florida Atlantic. Marquette and Western Kentucky just underway. So we got that going on, which is nice. We also have a trip last night that the Knicks finished in Denver against the defending champs. Now, they lost the game, but they put up a fight. Undermanned, no OG Anunoby still. He missed the last two games of the trip. No Randall still. He hasn't even been cleared for contact yet. Mitchell Robinson has been cleared for contact in practice, and so that'll also be something to monitor. But the Knicks were small, and it really did show. They were dominated on the glass, which never happens, and they gave up 66 points in the paint. Jokic had a triple-double. He was amazing. And I got to say that Jokic is playing his way back into MVP conversation, meaning he's the guy. Right now, I think, leading the way. For a while, we were trying to push Luka and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, others, maybe even some people are bringing Giannis back up into this thing. Jason Tatum's on the best team in the league, and yet people are finding fault with him despite the fact that he's having a great year. But let's be honest, enough of this voter fatigue, enough of like, well, he wins it too much or he's boring or whatever. Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league on the best team. He's the best player in the league. They're playing great basketball since the All-Star break. His numbers are through the roof. He makes the game look easier than he should. He doesn't look the part, but he is the part. He's going to win his third MVP in 4 years. Well-deserving, too. And he had a great game. Isaiah Hartenstein had a good game against him, had a career-high 20 points, but the Knicks didn't have enough. They didn't have enough size, didn't have enough depth, and it showed in this game, although it was still a 2-point game in the fourth quarter. So, overall, though, you win 3 of 4 on a West road trip. The Knicks have never swept, by the way, a 4-game trip to the West. They've never had a 4-0 since they went to the East-West format back in 1970. They had a chance to do it, and down 2 in the fourth quarter, they had a really good chance to do it. Just couldn't close the deal. And for Tom Thibodeau, road trip was good, But there's still a lot more work to be done.
This game ends, and then you're challenged in a different way getting back, and we got an early start next game against Brooklyn. But just keep focusing on one day at a time. Put everything you have into it. Get a look at the game today. Fix our mistakes. Get ready for the next one. But the fight has been great. The togetherness has been great. I think we're functioning well as a team. I had 29 assists. We were low turnover. But when our defense, when we're flying around, we're creating turnovers, and, you know, that wasn't there. But, you know, give them credit. I thought Porter played a great game for them. Murray played a great game. Gordon poses a lot of problems on the baseline. It's a team that is very well put together, and they play together. They play smart. They're going to make you pay for mistakes.
And it looks like the Nuggets are going to be the team that's in the finals again. I mean, they could win back-to-back. If you look at the West, I mean, who's really that good? As good as them? I don't think anybody is. Injuries could affect this, of course, but I find it hard to believe that there's a team in the West that could beat them 4 out of 7 times. The way they're playing, what they look like, and then Jokic and how good he is, it's hard to believe. Now, who's going to come out of the East? Is it going to be Boston? Is that the fait accompli? If it is, the Nuggets are winning the championship because they've played Boston twice and they beat them twice. They handed them their first loss of the season on their home floor. I mean, the Celtics don't lose at home, but the Nuggets went in there and beat them. So, if that's what you think the finals are going to be, I would put my money on the Nuggets. I think they can win back-to-back. They're that good. Now, as you heard Tibbs talk about, the Knicks now, this trip is over. They come home. They come home for a couple of games, and the next 4, 2 at home, 2 on the road, are of the winnable variety. Now, this time of year, things get funny because teams you think suck start figuring stuff out. Maybe they're playing, you know, the pressure's off and they play freer. So you got to be real careful. You can't walk into any games and just say, oh, that's a dub. But if you look at it, the Knicks now, after last night and after this trip, they have the 8th easiest schedule to finish the season in the entire league. And when it comes to teams that they're contending with in the East, Boston has the easiest remaining schedule. Miami has the 4th easiest. And then the Knicks are after them. So teams that they're dealing with, Cleveland, Orlando, they have harder schedules remaining, and that's important. Milwaukee has a very difficult schedule to finish. That could be to their favor. While the Magic jumped over the Knicks to take the 4th seed because of that loss last night, and Orlando's won 5 in a row. They had a big win over the Pelicans last night. But it's a half-game situation. And when you look at the Cavs, the Knicks are still 2 games back of the Cavs. Orlando's a game and a half back of the Cavs. The Cavs are in the 3rd spot. Donovan Mitchell dealing with the knee. Mobley's got the ankle. They have not been healthy, and things are catching up to them a little bit. They also have a tough schedule coming up. The Knicks in a week could find themselves in the 3rd seed. So right now they might be temporarily in the 5th seed. But if they take care of business, which they've done all year, I believe they're like 24-3 against teams that are losing records, something like that. So if they just do what they normally do and take care of business these next 4 games, they could easily find themselves in the 3 spot and maybe even shouting distance from the 2 spot. It's all possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It would help if they could get healthy. It would help if they can get OG Anunoby back sooner rather than later. We have no update on him right now, but I don't know if he's available for Saturday's game or not. Saturday, 1 o'clock against the Nets. A Nets team that they have really not played well. They've just been bad. They have a lot of issues going on there, whether it's Mikal Bridges not living up to what everybody thought he could be, which is a 1A player, or it's the coaching situation with Jacques Vaughn being fired, with Kevin Ollie taking over in the middle of the season and trying to figure out how to play. They're small. Like, they have length, but they're not a power team in the paint. They don't defend well, and they're a hot and cold shooting team. But you don't mess with them if you're the Knicks. Don't mess with this team. You got to, you know, I know you're going to be road weary and tired and all that stuff. We see this all the time. But that game, 1 o'clock at the Garden on Saturday, that's must win. It's got to be treated as such. Must win. And then on Monday at the Garden, you play the Detroit Pistons. And you can say again, oh, it's the Pistons. They suck. They've been playing a lot better later in the year. Now, they aren't winning a lot, but they're making it difficult on you. They have gotten bigger and stronger. They've got this kid, Jalen Duren, that's just a 2020 guy waiting to happen. They've gotten healthier, and they're not easy. And remember, the last time the Knicks played them, it took a miracle, questionable call for them to pull out a win in that game. That was a close game. So for that, like, you can't look at Monday and think, oh, that's a win. It just needs to be. You better have your they better have your attention, and you got to be focused on getting that one. So you have Brooklyn, afternoon, never easy off a road trip as well. Those games are tough to play physically and mentally just because of the timing. Got to win that game. To me, Saturday starts out with the must win. Tuesday, you got to handle that as well. Just know it's going to be a fight. You got to show up. This team usually has done that too. The Knicks have not been a team that overlooks anybody. Then you go to Toronto. And Toronto has also not been very good. They've had some injuries. No Scotty Barnes. Barrett has had to deal with the family tragedy. He has missed some time. Quickly has been in and out of the lineup with injuries and some other personal issues as well. But that at Toronto, that's got to be a win. Then they go to San Antonio, which is a really weird trip. It's their last Western Conference road game of the season. And they go from Toronto to San Antonio. Long-ass flight. And then you play a Spurs team, which also is not winning a lot, but they're not easy to play against. You know, they're not mailing it in. Young teams at the end of the season, they know the season's about to end. They kind of get more enthusiasm back because there's no pressure to win. They play a little more loose. They try some stuff. They have a full year under their belt, and they might like just have a little more rhythm going. Wembanyama is going to win Rookie of the Year running away. He's phenomenal. And his defense is really impactful. For a small Knicks team, it's going to be a problem. And so that game, you look at and think, they need to win that game. They need to win that game. So every game starts to become, oh, you got to win this, you got to win this, you got to win this. But you don't win every game, but the next four, you tell yourself, oh, yeah, they got to win these games. And if they do, they'll be right back into the thick of things and seeing if they can get out of that four and into the 2-3 bracket, which is a valuable bracket to be in. So that's what you're looking at right now. The fact that they got 3 out of 4 in this road trip is monumental. Because you weren't expecting that. Would you take a split 2-2? You might have. But the only game that you thought was a given when you consider the opponents, the only game you thought was a given was Portland. I mean, you didn't know what you were going to get. Sacramento was playing really well, big, strong team. You know, that was a tough win. And then the Golden State win, Golden State had been playing a lot better. Getting that one, big surprise. And then Denver became sort of house money. And you still had a chance in that game, even though it always felt like, yeah, it's a better team. But then after, then April comes around. Like, with the four games I just gave you, that finishes March. Again, Nets, afternoon game, Garden. Detroit, home, Monday night. At Toronto, at San Antonio, and then the last game of the month is home against a really good Thunder team, Oklahoma City. A weird Sunday night Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know. That's a weird schedule game right there. They're a good team. And that starts your stretch now when you go into April of how the schedule then starts to turn a little more and turn up. So the Thunder Sunday. Then at Miami on the 2nd. Kings come in to the Garden. And then a back-to-back Bulls. Then you got the Bucks, then you got the Bulls again. So you're in Chicago for like 4 days because you only got to bus up to Milwaukee and then you bus back to Chicago. Weird schedule. Then the Celtics in Boston. Nets one more time, second left game of the season. Who knows what the Nets will be at that point by Friday. And then you close at home against the Bulls. So you're seeing the opponents you're getting. So this four games right here, these four games could decide if coming up. These next four, to me, are the season. Are you going to be a team that could be in the 2-3 bracket or at least the fourth seed? Or are you going to be a team that is essentially trying to stay out of the play-in when you're in April? These next four games will tell us that. So don't look at these games as, oh, it's the Nets and it's the Pistons and the Raptors and the Spurs. They're not good teams. You know, you don't have, they don't matter. No, these next four games are the season, the regular season, and what you set yourself up to be in the playoffs. And that's basically it. I mean, we're at the end now. 13 games to go. Now, on the other front, which is the injury front, there wasn't a lot of interviews being done on broadcasts about this. But the reporters got to talk to Mitchell Robinson, and his situation with the Knicks now, which is one that was kind of curious, because in December when he had the foot, the ankle surgery, he was thought to be out for the season. Then little by little, it became the belief that he thinks he can come back and play before the end of the year. Well, he's been cleared for practice, at least this week he was, and he practiced full contact, which is a bit of a surprise. But then it now becomes, okay, so when is he going to be available? And what he has been saying is that it's go time, which is the playoffs. And Tom Thibodeau said, okay, he's going to need to go through a lot of practices, you know, contact practices, before they can clear him. So I don't know if we're going to see Mitchell Robinson before the end of the regular season, or maybe it becomes something that he becomes a player that they turn to once they get to the postseason. And that's what we have to see, because there's not a lot of time left. So, and that means there's also not a lot of practices left. How's he going to practice in full contact when the team's got game after game after game and they don't spend a lot of time on the practice court? His conditioning is a big deal. But look, make no mistake about it. If he comes back in the playoffs, they add a really huge piece. Even if he gives you 15 minutes a game, doesn't matter. They add a huge piece to the lineup. The Anunoby thing is the one that is such a variable, because they're leaving it up to him. The last thing that Tibbs said about Anunoby is that if, you know, it's going to be up to him how he feels. They gave him the week off after Saturday's game when he was clearly in pain. He didn't play against Golden State. So from Sunday to today, he has not played. They play on Saturday afternoon. Does he play in that game, or does he know they give him more time? Then they know he played till Monday. If he's not playing by Monday, I'd be a little worried. The Randle thing, I'm already worried about, because we are getting late into the year for a guy that for the last couple of weeks has been working out, shooting a basketball, doing a lot of non-contact basketball drills. They're not testing the shoulder against contact. And if they aren't, that kind of suggests to me that he's not comfortable. Now, I haven't heard from anybody. I'm not basing this on anything I've heard. I'm just telling you that from my experience, when you go this long without a new update about something, progress, and he looks fine. When you watch him, when he's shooting, when he's moving, he looks great. But if he's not ready to be cleared for contact, that sounds like a confidence concern. And ask yourself, if Julius Randle returns and you see a player that doesn't go in the paint, that kind of lingers on the perimeter, catch and shoot three kind of person, you got, and you don't really see him put it on the floor, drive to the basket, take contact, you don't see him get to the free throw line, you're not seeing him grab 10 rebounds a game, how would you feel? Like, you don't want that player, right? You can't. Like, that's not what you're looking for. He's not a high volume. He's not a high three-point shooting guy. He's a 36, 38% kind of shooter. He's not a 40% shooter that you can let him play that way. He's also not a plus defender that you would say, well, you're like OG Anunoby. Anunoby is somebody that even if he couldn't shoot, which he couldn't against the Kings, 1-for-8, didn't matter because his defense was so phenomenal, impactful, his rebounding, all those things, the deflections. He makes a difference. Randall's not like that. Randle is a high-scoring, high-end physical player. But if he can't play that way, and you just put him in the lineup just to have his presence out there, you know what happens. I know what Knicks Twitter would do. You would complain about him. You'd start blaming him. You'd start saying things about his toughness, about how much he wants it. You'd question him, because that's what you do. And so, think about it. If you're the Knicks, are you going to put a player out there and subject him to that kind of, like, to the criticism of, well, you're not really the player that you usually are? Can't help the team. So maybe there's some concern that he can't play the way that he needs to play. So they might have to play without him. And that, I think, is something we're watching right now. Because by now he should have been cleared for contact, right? We thought by now he would be, but he hasn't. So let's see what comes of that over the next couple of days. 800-919-3776. We'll update you on March Madness. We'll get back to your calls as well. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Barton Han, Ellen Hong, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Bart off today, Han Solo with you. We got your calls at 800-919-3776. Get back to that momentarily. We do have to give you the latest on our bracket challenge, by the way. The new bracket, the new polls were up today for the next matchups. But we do have to update the previous match. We'll do that momentarily. As I was talking about the Knicks just a minute ago, I did check the NBA official injury report. Ananobi is listed as out for tomorrow's game against the Nets. So that'll be a third straight game now he will miss. And that will make it a full week because the last game he played was Saturday in Sacramento. And he was in pain, but he got through the game. So that will give it a full week. And the next possible game he could play would be Monday against the Pistons. But as Tibbs said, they're going to leave it up to him. So playing the Nets without OG, and these are must-win games. Can't look at the schedule and say, oh, you know, this is winnable. That's win-. No, can't do it. Every game has to have your attention. So going through NCAA, Northwestern and Florida Atlantic, that got to overtime, and it's now 70-61 Northwestern. So that's a good 8-9 game. Still 90 seconds to go, at least on my TV, in that game. Baylor had been holding a 20-point lead on Colgate, a 3-14 matchup throughout this whole thing, and it's that's 90 seconds to go in that one. First half, Marquette, 2-seed, 26-19 over Western Kentucky. So that's all what's happening right now. Another game certainly getting started, and UConn should be getting started here in just a few minutes. Let me get a few calls here before I get to the bracket update. So let's go to Asher in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Asher.
Oh, me. Hey, how you doing? You guys hear me good?
We got you great, yes.
So I want to talk about the Jets. I think they're making a huge mistake.
With
signing all these players for one-year deals to go all in now, just because they have Aaron Rodgers on the roster. They have a great roster, right? Young studs. They killed it in the draft. Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson, Garrett Wilson, Bruce Hall. We know these guys. And obviously, we know they have a good defense. But it's just that instead of continuing to build a team that can last for a long time, they're going all in now. And I know, like, they're one-year deals, right? So if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But we're wasting a young core, a core that you know, like how much soon you're going to have to pay them and how much time do they all have together lined up playing at the top of their game. And we don't even know if Aaron Rodgers could be a force multiplier.
Well, all right, so how are they wasting it, though? Because what else would they do then if they don't have a quarterback? What should they have done?
Get a bridge guy. There's many bridge guys and just continue
to don't think a bridge guy is also wasting time? At least you're bringing in a guy that's a four-time MVP who's won a Super Bowl, and you're putting him with your young wide receiver who's a stud, Breece Hall, who's a stud, and a defense that is, you know, excellent, right? At least, like, isn't this better to do? And then you can know, like, all right, and then when it's time to pay the young guys, the older guys will be moving on, and the younger guys kind of take the – like, I don't have a problem with the approach. The only problem I had, Asher, is that I can't be all in because of the injury concern, because the players that you have, that you got, all have some type of injury history that is alarming. That's enough for you to at least worry about that creeping up again, because – it's very rare that people with a history of injury no longer have any injuries. It's always something. You got to manage it. And you just heard Tyron Smith say it. He just said it himself, that he's going to work with the Jets on how they're going to manage, you know, his playing time and how things are going to work. So clearly he's not like, yeah, I'm going to play every snap of every game. You know, he's not giving us DeBrickashaw Ferguson, which tells you they're going to need some depth there, which is fine. Because if he plays 70% of the time, but he plays at an all-pro level, I think they'll be happy with that. But it's that. It's the Mike Williams coming off ACL, playing on this turf that everybody's complained about. That's worrisome. Morgan Moses, torn pec, worrisome. You know, it's reality. That's all I'm saying. But the approach, totally get it. Javier in Queens. Javi, what's up?
Han Solo, my man. What's going on?
What's good?
Before I get to my Knicks-Jets point, can I do a quick Paul Bearer since Bart isn't here? I don't know if you saw Roadhouse yet.
You want to do a Paul Bearer?
Oh, Randy! Conor McGregor's acting career! Don't quit your day job!
Have not seen Roadhouse yet, but I do want to see it.
Conor McGregor, he's going to win a Razzie if those things still exist.
Is he? Really? Okay. So, all right.
Yeah, it's he's pretty bad. So Jets Knicks, you know, yes. It is so rare in the middle of March to have a week where you actually don't feel bad about being a Knicks or a Jets fan. It was like you rarely get 48 hours, and it was like a couple of days where they were doing no wrong, both teams. Like, you want the playoffs to start now. You want the Jets season to start right away. But, as a Jets-Knicks fan, you can't appreciate the moment, right? You have to worry about the future.
Yes,
so
always.
I worry about a couple of things with the Jets and the Knicks, similar to why I'm worried about the Yankees this season. With the Jets, I feel like their offensive line is similar to the Yankees' starting rotation right now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of money. You know, I mean, not cheap, somewhat well thought out, but a lot of question marks.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. Look, DJ LeMahieu, like it's you just think of him and how, of course he's ideal as your leadoff hitter, but it's only ideal if that foot's okay. But because he's had toe, foot, like all this stuff is going on with his feet all of a sudden, you know he can't be the same hitter that he's always been because of that. So what's your other option? Like, you're right. It's the same type of situation. That's actually a really good parallel.
With the Knicks, and after my Knicks point, I do have a suggestion for the bracket. I think the bracket's great, but I do have one suggestion.
All right.
With the Knicks, I liken them to the Yankees, and also kind of like the Celtics and just the trend in the NBA, is like all of this three-point bombing, winning you regular season games, and like the Yankees swinging for the fences all the time, doing all right in the regular season, but making it to the playoffs and not getting the same results. So I'm curious to see how the Knicks and the Celtics fare in the playoffs, considering how many threes they're actually putting up in comparison to what they've done in the past.
Yeah, Boston spreads you out, and they put up a ton of threes. They shoot it at a high percentage, and that is a question about them, is can they sustain it? Everybody always says that about three-point shooting. Is it sustainable in the postseason? Well, I'll tell you what, the Golden State Warriors proved it can be in their dynasty run, so maybe Boston can do it. But, you know, what the Knicks have is, again, akin to a team that has great pitching. They have a defense that when again, they got to be healthy, but they have a defense that travels well, keeps them in games, and as we know in the playoffs, defense matters. And that's something that they have. So, you know, again, it's all about it's a straight up we'll see. You know how it goes. It's we'll see. But most importantly, it's going to be about health. Boston has been remarkably healthy this season. They really have been. And they've been great. It's a really, really good team. And the questions about them will come down to matchups and coaching. Because Mazzulla is somebody that's been under fire about how he freezes up in late in games. They are not a good team in the clutch. They don't have a lot of clutch situations, but when they do, they're not very good. They don't execute well. He doesn't adjust well. And then, of course, in the East, when you think about who he'd be going up against, he's got some coaches that if he had to match up with in series, you're not checking the box on the Celtics side when it comes to coaching. Think about some of the coaches that he might have to go up against. I mean, Eric Spoelstra, who are you taking? Tom Thibodeau, who are you taking? Doc Rivers, who are you taking? Rick Carlisle, who are you taking? Right? When you think about all these teams, you got to think that the coaching aspect of this, because playoff games are usually close, you're always going to ask, okay, well, who's doing the X's and O's? Who's calling the timeouts? Who's out of timeout execution? Critical in the playoffs. All right. So we'll finish up. I'll give you the update on our first day of matchups in our bracket challenge of most beloved New York athlete. And then I'll tell you what the matchups are for today's polls that we put up already. And then we'll continue them through the weekend. And then, of course, we'll just keep the rounds going until we get our champion. So we'll get to that coming up. Give you what I can't wait to see this weekend because Bart's not here, so I'll do it for him.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Early upset alert here to keep an eye on. Late in the first half, still 2 minutes to go, but still, a 2-15 game. Marquette and Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky, 39. Marquette, 33. Keep an eye on that game, everybody. Northwestern gets a win in overtime over Florida Atlantic, and 9-8. The 9-seed Northwestern, 77-65. Again, a game that went to overtime. 800-919-3776. Of course, the number, as we'll finish up with you, heading it off to the K-Show. But let's update, shall we, what we have going on right now in our bracket challenge on this show. All the shows are doing different bracket challenges. Ours is a very simple one. It's just basically how we need to determine who is the most beloved New York sports athlete in the modern era. So we'll do 1970 forward. So no Mickey Mantle, no Babe Ruth, obviously. And we have to do it that way because, you know, we wouldn't have enough names, or we'd have too many names, I should say, and we'd leave it off a lot of more. So let's keep it modern. Also, when I say New York sports, we have to also keep it to, we have four regions, the four major professional sports: baseball, basketball, football, hockey. That's it. Okay. Now, there are the athletes you argue and stuff. That's nice, but this is what we're doing. So, with that in mind, yesterday we began with 8-9 matchups that we set up in our brackets. So, in our football region, we had 8-9, Phil Simms and Mark Gastineau in our football region. And Phil Simms won. So, he'll move on. He got 59% of the vote, by the way. And you can go to @BartonHahn to do all the voting. These will come up each day. So in our basketball region, in our Barton Hahn Bracket Challenge, our 8-9 matchup was an interesting one. Drazen Petrovic played for the Nets. Jeremy Lin for the Knicks. Jeremy Lin gets the win. Another 59-41 in the votes. Getting a lot of votes on these, too, which is good. In the baseball region, the 8-9 matchup was Don Mattingly versus Keith Hernandez. Two great first basemen. And always a debate in the 80s if you were a kid like me growing up. Mattingly, and this was overwhelming. And I'm kind of surprised by this. Thought there'd be a lot more Mets fans who love Keith Hernandez. And who doesn't love Keith Hernandez, especially as a broadcaster? He's a great player, too. But Mattingly, 72% of the vote. Last but not least, in the hockey region, the 8-9 matchup was, if you're a Devils fan, you love Scott Stevens. Rangers fans also certainly know Rod Gilbert. And Gilbert was close, 52-48. So Gilbert moves on. So it's 2-9 seeds and 2-8 seeds move on. Now, we put up right now, which will be up until tomorrow, another opportunity for you to vote. These are the 7-10 matchups. I'll give them to you quickly on the Barton Hahn Bracket Challenge. Staying with hockey, we have a 7 versus 10. Henrik Lundqvist, the Ranger goalie, versus Brian Trottier, one of the great centers of all time, played during the Islander dynasty. That one right away, by the way, with already some votes in, but still plenty of time left. King Henrik is running away with this right now. This is a great one. Baseball region, 7 versus 10. Thurman Munson and Dwight Gooden. Close one right now with some of the votes already in. Still a full day left to vote at Barton Hahn on Twitter. The basketball region matchup on 7-10 is Bernard King and Sabrina Ionescu, who plays for the Liberty, who's a great player. She took on Steph Curry in the three-point challenge at the NBA All-Star Weekend. And like I said, I do think that she's become a beloved player in New York for her stardom, her personality, and of course the Liberty were a very good team last year. So, but Bernard King early on with an expected big lead, but still a whole day at Barton Hahn to vote. And then in football region, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be tough. This might be up to which fan base steps up more. That's what I think. In the Barton Hahn Bracket Challenge, football region, a 7-10 matchup, the newly minted Hall of Famer, Joe Klecko, against the 10th seed, Justin Tuck. And that one right now, we still got plenty of more time, 20 hours to go. But Klecko's got the early lead on that one. So I think this one's going to this one will be more about, you know, whose fan base shows up, because we know how that stuff works. It really is more about that. All right, well, we have plenty of March Madness to enjoy this weekend. That's certainly something to watch. I'd be remiss, though, if I don't bring up the fact that the hockey teams around here, the Rangers, are playing great. They have their tied for the most wins, 45 in 70 games in franchise history. Peter Laviolette's done a great job there. And they had a big win over Boston in Boston, a tough win there. They look like a team that's getting set up to make a run. And they could have this could be a fun spring at the Garden between the Rangers and the Knicks, but especially the Rangers. The Rangers have championship aspirations. They could be that team. But man, what happened to the Islanders? Maybe there needs to be some major changes this offseason. Because last night, I mean, I was at the game against Carolina. I didn't like what I saw on the ice. But last night looked like a team that had a lot of quit in it. You never want to see a team that has quit. That's a damning statement to make. But that's what the Islanders look like right now, and I hate it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much. See you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.